Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Netta. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Netta?
I'm doing fine, coping with the passage of time. As of time of recording, I realized that the Grand Prix series starts extremely soon and we're basically done with challengers, which is insane.
Well, so we're technically halfway done with challengers. Well, yeah. And the challengers continue, but we stop caring about them because they're like the less important child once the Grand Prix steps up.
Which is so sad. But yeah, what I mean is like that portion of the season is like wrapping up and Grand Prix is picking up and the Junior Grand Prix has been going on. And all of that is bizarre because in my head it's like April, but it's not.
Yeah, it's, so I was just getting really excited about the new Animal Crossing update that they're releasing. And so I went into my island and really like looked around for the first time in a while. And I realized I still had all my Mardi Gras stuff up. So I guess it's still March in my head. I think that my Animal Crossing island is like kind of my interior mental state.
I don't even remember the last time I logged into Animal Crossing. And I was just telling my roommate that I'm like dreading logging in because I will be playing the new update and I'm like excited about it, but really dating this episode, but I am so nervous for all of my villagers to be like, Netta, you've been gone for like 6 months and I missed you. I hate when they guilt trip me.
It's okay, so this is literally awful, but so my nieces have gotten really into Animal Crossing, and whenever they come to my house, they're 4 and 2, and whenever they come to my house, like, we always play it, which is just me playing and them watching. And they can't read, so I don't always read aloud all of the things to them because, like, my villagers' nicknames for me are, like, bitch and stuff. But the thing that is that I only play when they come over once every few weeks. So the only thing that my neighbors ever say to me is, like, where have you been? You're a terrible neighbor. And I don't want my nieces to see that side of me. So sometimes I make things up. I'm like, hey, girl, love to see you. And it's not what they're saying.
Peak improv is just lying to children about Animal Crossing.
It's true. But we are not here to we're not here to talk in a way that is coherent, apparently. I was going to say we're not here to talk about Animal Crossing the whole time. We're here to talk about the Challenger series and how it's been happening.
Yeah, so basically what we're doing today is just kind of an overview of things that we've found challenging. I think I made this joke a year ago, but I'm going to continue making it. The challenging series is... The Challenger series is always challenging because there's so much going on and it's so early in the season. So we're basically not going to do, we're not going to like talk about podiums or anything. We're just going to talk about a broad brushstroke of where are we at currently emotionally and physically in this season.
Yeah. And for those of you who don't know, the Challenger series is sort of the younger sibling to the Grand Prix. It starts earlier and then continues the entire time. There is technically a winner, but there's not a final the way there is in the Grand Prix. The Grand Prix is more of like a tournament thing, whereas the Challenger series, you just sort of whoever won the most at the end. just gets, like, the knowledge of knowing they won, I guess. I don't know. There's probably money. But most years, it's, like, where the B team goes to compete more and where the A team kind of gets to practice. But it's kind of taken on new meaning this year because it's an Olympic season.
Yeah, so basically every single thing that every single skater does this year is important. Maybe not in a numerical sort of way, but just everyone's being watched so closely because so many things are going to depend on how people perform every single time they show up. And also some final Olympic spots were being decided at some of the Challenger events. So it's been like literally there hasn't been an event which is like, yeah, this is just practice or like this is just to premiere your new programs. Basically, everything has been important for everyone, which has made things a lot more exciting, like, early on, but it's also put so much pressure on people, because we've talked about, like, people peaking later in the season, because obviously you have to, like, sit with your new programs and, like, get used to them, and now, first of all, we're still, you know, the world's still the way it is, so not everyone's been having all the time in the world to prepare, and at the same time, we've put on this pressure of... This matters a lot. So that's fun.
Yeah, it's like that meme of the person highlighting like an entire book and it just says everything is important.
Yeah, that's basically where we're at with all of this.
So yeah, the most important so far was Nebelhorn, because that was where the Olympic spots were confirmed through a process of combination of witchcraft and non-Euclidean geometry that I don't feel like explaining again. But it happened, and depending on how things went, people either did or did not get to go to the Olympics, except for the case of what is it, Sweden with Josefine Tallegard, who is just amazing, and they're not sending her to the Olympics for no reason.
Yeah, Sweden is just doing this defeatist bullshit, which I do not understand. Smarter people on the internet, by which I mean Jackie Wong, have been explaining it. What I understand is that basically with Josefine Tallegard's scores and the way she's been performing, she could have had an Olympic quota, but they just kind of forfeited it, which I have not bothered understanding how and why that's happening, because I know it's going to make me mad.
Yeah, like if it's a COVID precaution, okay. But if it's just like, we're not going to win, we won't even try, I'm like, well, yeah, that's not very sporting, is it?
I will respect it if they're like, hey, this shouldn't be happening, so we're not going to partake. That would be a cool stance to take, and I would respect it. However, they have not made any such statement. And also, they have very much been sending their A team to international competition. So if you're going to let people travel and compete anyway, why not fucking commit?
Is it like a human rights thing with China?
It might be.
Because that would be legit.
It's not a Sweden having any sort of political or social stance situation, because they are sending athletes in other sports.
So then, like, what did Josefine do to piss them off? Like, why don't they like my daughter?
I don't know. I would have so respected them if they were like, hey, this shouldn't be happening in a global pandemic. Here are all the wrongdoings of the Chinese government. Like, I'm not going to get into, like, the politics of whether or not the Olympics should be happening or should be happening in China right now. But I would have respected that from Sweden. However, they're very much sending a bunch of people in, like, alpine skiing and, like, curling and their ice hockey team. Like, they're sending people is what I'm saying. And figure skating is just, actually, according to Wikipedia, Sweden has qualified one male and one female figure skater based on its placement in the 2021 World Figure Skating Championship. But they straight up just have not made this call. And I do not know why.
Well, I hope they wise up. So Nebelhorn was important. Autumn Classic was sad. Nepala was canceled. And so a lot of people who were going to go to Nepala end up going to Finlandia, which means Finlandia was lit. Because there's only two types of Challenger Series event. There's like an event that is so fucking lit that it's like basically the Olympics. And then there's an event that like three people came to and it's like in a basement shot on a like 1998 Nokia phone. And you have to like download the fucking footage from Napster.
No, but it's true though. It's true.
Like there's no in between.
Yeah, there is not even like events where it's like, okay, that we're keeping this like in-house. It's just like people from this like host country or anything. It's just either extremely fucking lit or just like sad. So anyway, let's talk about a good one, because there's so much to talk about.
Yeah, we're gonna focus more on Finlandia, but first some things from other.
Let's do a quick rundown of things that happened leading up to Finlandia that we wanna talk about.
Okay, so first of all, did Vince and Joe finally do a program we didn't hate?
Yes, and I'll tell you why. And I tweeted that, and I'm not gonna go any deeper into it because y'all know how I feel, but I've been begging this man for years on end to simply express one human emotion. Because the thing is, and I keep being like, am I going fucking insane? Have I been going fucking insane with like how put on and like disingenuous his entire thing seems? Because it always feels like he's trying so hard to, like, replicate a human emotion. And for one fucking time, he did just emote. And it was because halfway through his very, very good program, he realized that he has done a good enough job and he will be going to the Olympics. And I'm happy for him. But I'm also like, we cannot be replicating this amount of stakes every time, sir. Like, you're gonna have to, like, remember how that felt, do some Stanislavski work, and like do that every time.
Well, so yeah, maybe he's not an actor. Maybe he just needs someone to like give him some great or sad news before every skate. You know, like when you have like a child actor on a set and you don't tell them it's a movie, so you get like a good performance out of
them. Yeah, it's like, but that sucks though, because like as much as he's not my personal favorite skater in the world, I would hate for him to have to go through like a traumatic event every time he has to skate a sad program.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's like what they did to Natalie Wood, and like she had a horrible life after that. So anyway, but it was nice. Maybe this is like a harbinger of good things to come for the season, because he's like almost deaf going to the Olympics, and I would like to root for everyone there. It would just make me happy.
I would love to just experience the Olympics, just excited about everyone. It's not going to happen. I'll be pissed a lot of the time for just reasons, because, you know, adrenaline makes me emotional, but I would hope. So anyway, speaking of people who are going to the Olympics, period.
Yeah. Alyssa Liu has been absolutely rawing the Challenger series. I think they're like currently in the lead with two goals.
I believe
so,
yes.
It was funny because the last couple years we were like, oh, I don't know. Is Alyssa out of the running? Was Alyssa just like a fluke who like did well a couple years when she was a kid? And it's like, no, she's like so very much back, and like getting that Olympic spot confirmed for the U.S., winning things left and right. Like the U.S. would be dumb not to send her to the Olympics, regardless of how I personally feel about her skating. It's just crazy. I really wouldn't have guessed that she would go to the Olympics like a couple years ago. But yeah, no, now it's like her and probably Brady, and then like who else, you know?
Yeah. God, I feel like the U.S. women's team is what I'm the most stressed out about, even though it's like so basically decided. It's just like a field where I'm like, just send all of them. Like, give them a billion spots.
It's really tough because I think of anybody else, and we'll talk about this a bajillion times, but I just think of anybody else who could get that third spot. All of them are skaters who tend to get underscored on PCS internationally, like even Karen. So it's like, there's not like a ton of like contrasting pros and cons. It's like, do we send Karen, who's a beautiful skater but gets underscored on PCS, or do we send Mariah, who's a beautiful skater but gets underscored on PCS, or do we send Amber, who's a beautiful skater but gets underscored on PCS?
Yeah, that's a good summary. And we'll talk about this so much in this episode. I'm confused about PCS in general, and I continue to be confused about PCS in general, but fucking Ekaterina Kurakova finally got to shine and not get fucking screwed over by the PCS police, which I've been waiting for this moment for like 2 or 3 years at this point.
Yeah, to quote Phil Collins, I've been waiting for this moment all my life.
I was born just waiting for this sunshine woman.
I can feel it coming.
Also, speaking of just like high stakes, realizing halfway through your program that you're going to the Olympics, she was the queen of that. The joy of her entire long program, and like screaming in the kiss and cry, and just like being so fucking pumped, was very precious. And I've rewatched that performance several times after it happened, just to like, you know, remember that there are good things in the world.
Yeah, can I say something kind of controversial? This is my hot take. I think that Alyssa Liu wants what Ekaterina Kurakova has in terms of like that really, really, really genuine, like, I'm an adorable child kind of energy.
Yeah, but the thing is, and I'm not going to compare them because we all know that I stan Alyssa's entire deal off ice.
Yeah, we do love Alyssa.
I think Katya just doesn't have to try. Like, she's just sunshine baby. While Alyssa is like, I will be smiling if it kills me energy.
Alyssa will find what actually does come naturally to her, and then it's gonna be
fucking terrifying for all of us, and I cannot wait. Also, they're friends. The two of them are friends, so I'm like not about to like whatever compare them.
I love that. I like
that. Yeah,
they
have like a bunch of fully deranged selfies from that event.
I'm but a simple woman, and I like it when ice skaters
same,
are friends.
Same. What else?
So Team France has been like really pumping out some amazing skaters on the men's side. Obviously, we always love Romain. Adam Siouham Fa is like really, really coming into his own. We loved his Star Wars program last year, and then now he's doing Daft Punk, and it's like such a freaking choice like mix of Daft Punk songs too. Like, he just has such a he's got a really specific style and sensibility to him, the kind of music he skates to and the way that he skates it. I just really want to see him on the Euros podium at some point in the next couple years, because I feel like it
could very much happen, especially because I feel like, and we're going to cross that bridge when we get there, and it's going to be after so many things have happened this season, but at this point in the season, you could not pay me to predict the Euros men's podium. Women, it's going to be a bunch of Russian women. It's going to be fine. With the men, we're going to talk about it a little bit, but like Dima Aliyev has been having like an up and down season so far. So
an up and down life.
Up and down life. So I don't know. Like, I do not think he's ever going to get to defend his Euro title, and it breaks my heart. But at this point, it could be anything could happen with the men at Euros. So who knows? Maybe you get your wish this season.
Who knows? Finally, I would like to say, you know, they always say like, okay, so I'm going to go on a little journey here. So bear with me. You know, like gender is a social construct, and like gender reveals and finding out gender and everything is like, we all know that's like whatever. I have heard people say like, oh, I don't want to know the sex of my baby when I'm pregnant because there's only a few great surprises in life. And like that moment is like, that's such a great, that's, you know what I mean? And I'm thinking like, well, gosh, I don't know if I want to have children. And, you know, I don't know if I'm ever going to get to experience that like one great moment of surprise. But now I feel like I did. I feel like I got to experience that. And for me, it was the moment when Evelata Kubis skated out in a fully sequined mod, like
color
geometric
block.
Rainbow fantasy. And I thought, what's this music going to be? Is it going to be like an Austin Powers number? And then it turned out to be like techno 90s world music Brazilian.
May I?
And I was like, wow, the world still can surprise me.
May I please give our listeners a peek behind the curtain here and say that I do have an outline that I'm looking at, and I knew that you were going to arrive somewhere at some point, and I still had no idea where the fuck you were taking me with this.
Thank you. I like to surprise you every once in a while. Anyway, yeah, it was one of those things where like in a slightly less chaotic moment, overall, I would have been like, should this, you know, redheaded Baltic girl be skating to Brazilian music? I don't know. But it was just like, it was like somebody spun a wheel.
And that somebody was Benoit Rochot, which is why it works.
I honestly, at this point, believe Benoit does have a wheel in his home, and it's like the Showcase Showdown wheel, but it has different genres and aesthetics on it. And like, anytime a child comes to him and is like, I don't want to skate to Swan Lake, what am I going to do?
And he brings out the wheel, and it's all like shades of black and white. It's like,
you're going to skate to like...
Wait, yeah, can we just do a real quick thing?
Yes, of course.
Okay, I've pulled up a music genre random wheel, and I've also pulled out the aesthetic generator. So I will now generate your Benoit Rochot season. I'm gonna give you a short program and a
wait. Can we make one of these and put it on Twitter where it's like based on the first letter of your name and your zodiac sign? Here's your Benoit Rochot program.
Yes, we can and we will, and that will be the promo for this episode. However, I am now using the aesthetic generator to give some to you, Megan, your short program for the Olympic 2021-2022 season is, the aesthetic is Starbucks farmer. Keep that in your mind, carry it in your heart. And the music genre you're skating to is going to be, drum roll please, rock. So talk to me, pitch to me. I do know we have other things to talk about, but this is the episode now.
But this is more important.
Pitch to me your Starbucks Farmer rock short program.
So to me, Starbucks Farmer, my immediate thought is like a white polo button or a button down, and then over it is like the green apron, but then it turns into overalls, and that's Starbucks Farmer to me.
Wait, are you like, hold on, is it a reveal? Where you pull off the Starbucks apron to reveal that you're a farmer? Or are you wearing full coveralls, but they're Starbucks green?
No, I'm thinking they're Starbucks green. I think, actually, this is what I want now, is that I want there to be a reveal, but the reveal is just me taking off the apron and you see the rest of the overalls, but there's nothing surprising about it. It's just like, oh, the reveal is there's not a second apron under here.
And what is the rock song that you're skating to, do you think?
I'm going to skate to, I'll skate to Manskin. I don't know how you Monskin. Pronounce it, actually, but Manskin.
Or if you ask them Manskin with a little Måneskin. It's Danish.
Måneskin. I'll skate to that because a lot of the Starbucks names are like Venti and Grande. That's very Italian.
You have taken this to a truly amazing place. I was imagining like a McBragina does Orvo Peck situation, and you've taken it in such a different... Yes.
Okay, but that all... But now you've said that, and now I can't stop thinking about that. Sidebar, McBragina won the U.S. thing, the U.S.
Yes.
Classic. It's not in Challenger Series this year. It was like a CB whatever competition, and it was in Boston, and I wasn't going to go anyway just because it was... I just felt like international events in the middle of Panini was like not for me. But also I was in the hospital while that happened because I was very sick and I'm fine now. But I was in the hospital like with my IV in my arm, like refreshing the scores and being like, Mick Brasina, you're giving me the will to live.
We should send him a thank you note and be like, you have saved Megan's life.
They were like, Megan, it's true. They were like, Megan, we could give you a third bag of IV fluids. I don't know. Do we think you should stay and have it? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to have it because I never settle for less.
The road to perfection goes through the emergency room sometimes, and that's fine. Megan, I'm about to generate you your free skate. So you've done your reveal Måneskin program. You're a Starbucks farmer. It's the Venti short programs. But then for your free skate, your aesthetic is piss demon. So live with that. Consider it. Think about
sorry,
it.
Sorry, but piss demon?
Piss demon. So you could like reach out to Boyang and be like, hey, do you still have the beautiful vanilla ice cream shirt that Netta loves and everyone else thinks it's piss? Yeah. So you could borrow that. And then the genre that you're skating to is... I'm thrilled to announce that the genre that you're skating your piss demon free skate to is hip hop.
Oh, a hip hop piss demon number.
Can you just do like industry like, baby and fucking call it a day?
Honestly, yeah. And like, I think what I would do is I would...
You as a white woman, can you do industry baby and call it a day?
No, I would actually, I would like contact Lil Nas X, because if I was a skater on that level, I think Lil Nas X would be like super hyped to work with me. And like, I can sing. So like, let's put something together. Let's do like a fun, cheeky piss demon song. And then...
You slide down a pole onto the ice.
Yeah, what could go wrong? Are you going to do yourself? Are you going to do your own?
No, I have sent you the thing so you can do it for me.
Okay, Netta, your short... Okay, your short program aesthetic is Mom Pride.
Okay. Okay.
And your music genre is classical.
A classical Mom Pride short program. Wow. I will be doing...
I'm trying to think of, like, famous mom-themed classical music.
No, I do not think... I think it's a very straightforward, just classical program. And the only mom pride thing about it is that I am dressed like a very nice, supportive mom at her first pride. With, like, rainbow suspenders and way too many, like, just... things.
Can you have a shirt that says I love my gay child? Yes. And like mom jeans?
Yes, that is like the aesthetic that I'm picturing is I love my gay child.
That's a really good Halloween costume.
It is. It's so funny. And like rainbow suspenders and like mom jeans, and it's so colorful and so gaudy. And I will be skating.
Like if you want to go full pride angle, you could do Tchaikovsky.
No, you know what I'm doing? So I'm wearing this gaudy, like, patchwork, very exciting, like, mom at her first pride, like, animal print situation. I do have a t-shirt that says, I love my gay son. And I will be skating to the Four Seasons by Vivaldi as an homage to my original gay son, Stefan Lambiel, in the 2006-2007 competitive season. Thank you.
That's so real, because, like, who embodies mom pride more than Stefan these days? He's like, he's a mom to so many, and he's proud of all of them.
He is a mom to so many. So this is my short program. What is my free skate?
Oh, no. Your free skate is vintage brony.
Okay.
And you're going to skate to... you're going to skate to classical once again.
Yes. I would be starting out in an all black, just like beautiful dress, skating to something from Swan Lake, and it's gorgeous. I'm the black swan, and it's like beautiful Natalie Portman wishes sort of situation. And then halfway through, it transitions into a postmodern jukebox remix of the My Little Pony theme, but the original one from the 90s. And I have a dress reveal, and it drops down, and it's full rainbow colors and like tulle and full like JoJo Siwa fantasy. And that's my free skate.
Are you gonna do this in drag? Because I'll do it. As your official drag music enabler, I will fully record like a My Little Pony.
Can we please do that? But for like January, because I have shit lined up until then. So anyway, do you hate how fast my brain produced that concept?
No, in fact, I would expect nothing less, because I was with you.
Because you never settle for less.
I never settle for less, and I was with you in the trenches of grad school for 2 years, where we were trained to do literally nothing but come up with vaguely cogent ideas and then sell them with all our hearts based on absolute bullshit.
So thank you, Sarah Lawrence College, for all the money you gave me a scholarship to be here.
I genuinely am like, this is a good experience that I'm grateful for.
Yeah, so thank No. Deeply same. Let's talk about Finlandia, because my God, we've talked about so many other things.
We have. So, as we said, it happened the most recently. Technically, Asian Open is sort of happening. And by sort of, I mean, I don't want to be too specific and date the episode, but it is underway. But Finlandia is the most recent. It is the most recently completed event. And my God, it was very lit.
It was honestly some of the best skating and like best energy that I've seen in a fucking hot second.
I think what you always really want to see at like an international event like a Challenger Series is a lineup of really, really great competitors who are like gonna give each other a run for their money, but are also kind of like deep cut random pulls. Like, I never would have been like, let's put Jason Brown, Mikhail Kolyada, Keegan Messing. You know what I mean? Like, it just feels like random, but like curated to be really, really cool.
Yes. It was such a good lineup in all disciplines. It was very exciting and very, I want to say, very unpredictable as well.
I think so too. It really, I mean, I was kind of on the edge of my seat the whole time. And I think for once we might talk about boys first, just to switch it up.
Sure.
Because something that I need to say is that I need to know what the fuck is going on with my son, Misha. I don't know why he wouldn't keep the Nureyev for the Olympic season. It was like one of the best skating programs I've ever seen anyone do.
I have to wonder if he was just testing out other options and he will go back to the Nureyev. Because like last year when he premiered it, and like every single time we watched it, we were like, oh, duh, he's prepping for the Olympics. Like, this is the kind of program that you show people who don't know about skating to be like, this is Olympic skating. And now it's gone?
I really, really thought like that he had said he was doing it for the Olympics. And I think I just hallucinated it because I wanted it to be true.
I mean, it would have made sense as well. He didn't get like many, many, many chances to perform it as well. And the reception was so overwhelmingly good. And I'm just very confused. Like, I'm genuinely, like, not for the bit. Just, like, why would you do this?
Yeah, well, low-key, we say this as though we know he's going to the Olympics. And in our hearts, of course he should go to the Olympics. But Russia likes to pull some weird shit, so we don't even know. It's a deep field, and they love to do random things.
Yeah, but, like, if he's working towards it, if he's fighting for it, why not keep Nureyev, which, first of all, is a very, like, Russian program. It's historical, it's very moving, it's beautiful, and everyone fucking loved it. It would be such a crowd pleaser, not just for people like audiences, but also like for the Russian committee. I would think it'd be a much better idea. Not to mention, shout out to whoever on Twitter fucking did the thing. He's doing the same program twice this year.
Oh, yeah. And this is not even the first time this has happened. Yeah. But yeah, Mishin programs are just getting emptier and more copy-paste as we go. God bless the old man. And it's like, okay, so this is one piece of it is like, why would you not do that? And then the other piece of it is like, why would you then replace it with Schindler, which like, okay, so he didn't know he was going to go right before Jason. But like, even, but he knew Jason was doing it. And like, he had to know, even if you're Russian and you hate Jason Brown or whatever, like, you have to know that he's doing a good job. I don't understand. It was just insane. Because it's like, what we were talking about, I believe it was Jackie Wong who originally said this, that last season at Worlds, the men's event was so spectacular because everybody was putting out programs that only they could do. And Nuriev was Misha's. And now he's gone complete 180 to not only a program that someone else could do, but a program that someone else is doing better in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Also, oh God, it just feels so purposeful and like just ugly and weird to just be doing Schindler because it's the Olympic season. Like, I feel like Jason clearly, like, fucking no one else should be doing Schindler ever in the history of time after him, because he feels every single beat of that, and everything is so on purpose and smart and just like filled when he is doing that music. And then, whether it's Misha or anyone else, I would have said the same. It just feels like, oh, I know this is a moving tearjerker, and like, people will recognize it for the important piece of music it is. Let's do it for the Olympics. Which just feels, I don't even know what word I'm looking for. It just is bad.
Yeah, and like, I don't know. Like, we've had so many iconic Schindlers. I still think Jason's is the best. I'm biased, but like, I mean, I say I'm biased. I think I'm biased based on the time period I live in now.
Yeah.
Like, I think if I was like currently 60 years old and during the prime of my like skating fixation, I had been watching somebody else do it, maybe I would be like, no, it'll never be as good as that. But based on where I'm at, I think Jason's is the best. I think there are other iconic ones. I think Yulia Lipnitskaya obviously is a very iconic Russian Olympic Schindler. Which even at the time I felt was a little bit manipulative, but I also don't know
that's like, the word I was looking
the background
for.
Of anybody who, yeah, I don't know the background of anybody involved, and I think it's like the most ironic thing you could possibly do would be to like make people out themselves as Jewish or not in response to a Schindler's List program. That's bananas, and I would never ask anybody to do that.
I'm laughing. It's just so bad.
That's like an It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia episode premise right there.
God, it's just so bad. But also, God, I don't even know how to say what I am about to say. And also, I am, to the best of my knowledge, ironically about to speak about my history. I am, as far as I know, just simply 0% Jewish. I do not think I have any Jewish ancestors, as far as I know. So I don't even know if it's my place to say this. But it is, and I say this as someone who also really, really loves Misha. There is many episodes of proof. I find it cognitively insane in a cognitive dissonance sort of way to watch this pale Slavic looking Aryan boy with his slicked back blonde hair be doing Schindler's List. It just feels, it just adds to the, like, bizarreness of it all. I'm like, this doesn't look. And I'm not saying there is a way to, quote unquote, look Jewish or anything. But, like, you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. It's like, there's totally, of course, there's a million people who are Jewish who look like Misha. But also, Misha would be a perfect Rolf in The Sound of Music because that's you know.
let's bring it back to theater and like just see that. My God.
It's these little tiny details that you have to pay attention to. Like, for example, like Roman Sadovsky had a beautiful Schindler's List, and he also competed it with his little crucifix on. And it's these little tiny details that are just a little bit cognitively dissonant where it's worth thinking about. And it's not, like, objectively, like, you can't do this or you shouldn't do this. But just think about it. It reminds me of, like, if you were in choir ever in school, and like sometimes it would be like Black History Month or something, and it would be like, we're gonna sing the song from Amistad, and it was always like the most obvious like slave situation, and it's just like it feels weird to be like a tourist in someone else's trauma for the sake of like doing the art that you think is gonna get the response that you want.
Yeah, I think that wraps it up. I couldn't say it better, and I question it. And also, just from a purely spectator point of view, Misha just carried Nureyev so much better. Again, it was the you could not make anyone else do Nureyev.
No, for sure. And like, I also want to say too, like, I think it's an emotion thing too. Like, I just didn't feel like he was emotionally connected to it, because if I want to think about a Schindler, for example, performed by somebody who, as far as I know, is not Jewish, but did a really beautiful emotional job, I would think about Satoko, who, like, costume fuckery aside,
was really
emotive and beautiful once she finally got it together with like an appropriate costume. And I don't think she's Jewish. And I think there's a lot of interesting geopolitical stuff of like a Japanese skater doing Schindler's List. But anyway, like, you can connect to music that's not your background, but Misha didn't.
Yeah, I just hope that someone on his team has their finger on the pulse of just like the general reaction to this, because we all just fucking miss Nureyev, and it would just do so much better than this.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe Mission is like scrolling Twitter, because I mean, something happened that time that Lisa did dumb things and then went back to her senses that season, where she was like changing music and doing this and that. So
yeah, we'll see. You know, who knows?
Who's to say?
Who knows?
He could be very online.
I wish desperately to imagine that Mission just has like a reaction image folder on his phone.
Alexei Mishin's Twitch channel. Like, what's up, gamers?
Здравствуйте, gamers.
Здравствуйте, gamers. That would be a good episode title, but I don't think it would make any sense.
No, it's so deep, so buried so deep in the 40th minute of this episode. Anyway, wait, can I talk about another betrayal that I experienced?
Yeah.
Speaking of changing music and me questioning you changing music, light of my entire life, Keegan Messing, whom I adore and respect and would die for, skates out and he's wearing his champagne blouse and his like navy trousers. And I'm like, oh my God, we're gonna cry about his wedding song again. And then we didn't.
It's like the wife guys need their wives to set them straight, because maybe that's the only people that they love and respect is the wives. The wives need to be the ones. Maybe Lane is busy with the child and isn't like giving sage advice anymore. I don't know.
Can you talk to me about what the fuck was his free skate?
Can I be honest with you? Like, if I hear music I don't like, I just stop listening. So I know I didn't like it, but I don't remember what it was.
I've just fully blacked out. It just, so much was happening. Anyway, Keegan's back. He's the best.
He continues to do beautifully. It's just like, ugh, it's amazing. To return back to the Schindler drama, and I promise we won't have any more discourse, but I just wanted to say that one of my favorite plot points in any drama is like, when you're doing a song for the talent show and then you find out that someone else is doing the same song and it's like this huge deal, like full Emmett Otter scandal. I was like absolutely living for finding out that Misha was doing Schindler right before Jason and what the drama was going to be there. And then it just kind of wasn't dramatic, because as we expected, Jason came out and was like, this is how you clear a bitch.
Yeah, correct. Also, someone was doing Love is a Bitch right before Jason in the short program, and also obviously Jason is not doing that. The season hasn't been doing it for like several seasons, but still it was like, oh, we know who made this a thing. Which was funny. Basically the Mansfield at Finlandia was, you know, here's Jason Brown who's clearing a bitch, and then just a bunch of people who are doing very, very good job but are not Jason Brown.
Yeah, and he fell and he still won.
Yeah.
Because he's Jason Brown and he can.
Wait, but honestly though, like, first of all, a blessed timeline where he did win. But imagine it like a year and a half ago, I was like, oh yeah, so here's the field for this. You have like Keegan and Dmitry Aliev and Misha and Evgeny Semenenko and Mateo and like all of those people. And also Jason is going. couple years back, it would have been like, oh shit, Jason's obviously going to be beautiful, but like he probably wouldn't be able to fight through like all of the technical shit of like all of those other very good boys. And we just got to see what happens when he does.
I know. It's just continues to wow. It continues to be great. And I like the new costume. I do. We were doubtful at first. I remember us being like, I don't know. It moves really well.
It does. I always like question because obviously, like, again, it's such a like clear homage to the just visual aesthetic of the film to be like, it's going to be black and white and there's going to be a splash of color. But I think it was done very, very beautifully, and it, like, it makes so much sense when, like, when it does move.
So, Dmitry Aliev was there, and Prince Dima has returned for the Olympic season like clockwork. I do miss chest hair Dima. there's two wolves inside him.
Oh, God. It's the two genders are prince and chest hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think he carries, like, the princely thing so well. Like, kind of ironically, I just think he, like, gets it.
Like, what is there to say? I mean, it's like every other competition, he's either, like, stunning brilliant or, like, not really feeling it.
It is crazy to me how he doesn't just have a mediocre competition. He's either, like, fucking going through it or he's, like, miles ahead of everyone else. And there is just never an in-between.
He's that Challenger Series spirit of, like, either extremely high budget or, like, absolutely not at all.
He is a Challenger Series of people.
Oh, God.
I love him. I do love him.
Shall we take a break? Okay, welcome to the break. You know what to do if you want to support us, or maybe you don't. And in that case, I would love to tell you right now. What you can do if you want to support us is you can go to patreon.com/iceteapod, and for as low as $1 a month or $5 a month or $7 a month, depending on what you prefer, you can support us and get access to some awesome bonus content. We have over a year of bonus episodes of us doing stupid, silly things.
Wait, do you want to hear something insane?
Yeah.
This month, we're coming up on 2 years.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. You're right. Okay, so you're like, you're going to get 2 years of bonus episodes in case you you couldn't get enough of hearing us talk about things. So that's that. And do you want to, I don't know, you want to tell us about something else, Netta?
Give us 5 stars on whatever platform you're using to listen to this. If you're hearing this right now, it means that you're using something, and that something probably has a rating system, and it really, really, really helps to let us know that you're enjoying what you're listening to.
Yes. If you're listening to this on an old school Victrola, if you just crank it like 5 times, they'll get it. They'll get the message.
Correct. That's it. Everything else we can talk about at the end of the show. Just support us, and we appreciate you. And thank you for listening.
All right. Welcome back.
Yeah. Let's talk about women just real quick.
Let's do it. Amber Glenn.
Amber Glenn is women.
She's every woman.
She is every woman, but I do mean, like, she's women in the Saoirse Ronan sense of, I just think that Amber Glenn.
Yeah, she hit the triple axel in the warm-up, and unfortunately not in the program, but it was still a pretty amazing flex.
Who gives a shit? Honestly, at this point, she could go out. I know it's important. I realize that, but I think she has reached an icon status way beyond her amazing jumping ability. And I think she's been doing so well. I know she had like a little moment on social media where she was like, can someone please show me that axel so I can remember that I can do it. And I found that very nice. I think everyone sometimes needs a reminder that they are indeed that bitch.
Yeah, she's refreshingly candid, as always. So we just, every time she's at a competition, I'm like, yes.
Yeah, she's just, I deeply respect everything she's been doing, including just so many good TikToks. If you don't follow Amber on TikTok, fix that.
Okay, who else? Elizaveta Tokhtomysheva showed up and did, once again, quite amazingly.
She showed up and did something.
So there's two wolves inside me, and my therapist is always telling me that you can have two seemingly contradictory opinions at the same time, and that's okay. And never is that more evident than with Lisa, because on the one hand, I, like, worship her. I think she's so fun and funny and self-aware, and she's, like, you know, really doing amazing things technically that usually, like, slightly older skaters, which is, it's silly that she's an older skater, but whatever, usually they don't do, and she's, like, blazing that trail and being like, you can't get rid of me, I'm here to stay, and I just love all of that.
Yes, but...
But the other wolf inside me is like, why is she getting such good PCS compared to like Elena Kostornaya and fucking Karen Chen? Like, it's just like, yes, she does her own thing and it's cute, but it's like not as good. And I don't think that that's like an argument. I don't know. Yeah. Like, it's not bad. Some people will tell you it's bad. And I don't think it's bad. I think it's good, but I don't think it's as good. And I don't think you could argue with me that it is.
I just think that the PCS system, welcome to this podcast, the PCS system is broken and it means nothing at this point. And that's going to be a conversation for many, many, many seasons to come because no one seems interested in fixing it.
I have a theory. What do I do if I have theories? I contacted a university and no one listened. Sorry, that's like a meme that like no one has seen and I reference a lot, and it's just a Reddit post and it says, what do I do if I have theories? And then the body of it is like, I have contacted a university, but they didn't listen. my theory at this point is that the ISU is like deliberately keeping PCS completely broken so that we will stay mad at that and not look higher to like
everything else that's wrong with this fucking sport. Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, like, this is just my speculation, so like, don't sue me, ISU.
I mean, you know, ISU, if you're listening, hi. No, what I want to talk about, which I'm way more equipped to talk about, and I feel like we did a little bit, is that extremely accursed costume. The like teal and gold one, the brown red one is pretty. The other one, the cut of the skirt should be banned. And mm-hmm. I do not believe in the prison system, and I think prisons should be abolished. But whoever constructed that garment should face some sort of punishment.
Yeah, community service or
just like teach small children with no attention spans how to sew. You have to teach every single child how to make a pillowcase for the rest of your life.
Yeah, or like do nuclear proliferation, but for like airbrush cans.
Just like something tedious and exhausting, because my fucking God, horrible fucking skirt. You know the one I mean? The one that's like a tennis skirt, but with mm-hmm. like slits in the front of the thighs.
And no pleating. It's just like...
And no yeah. pleating, and it just looks like a weird like shame flap.
On a... What if I just started, like, calling random parts of my body the shame flap?
I think we should reclaim the flap. I think you should not be ashamed of any of your flaps.
That's true. Brene Brown said that we need to let go of shame.
Yeah, we need to let go of shame, and also we need to let go of flaps, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good conclusion, I think, to reach from...
God, I'm tired.
to Mishima. Karen Chen was there, and she continues to be gorgeous and... get screwed on PCS every time for no reason that I could see.
I just want to know who she's wronged. Like, I feel like her and like Katya Korakova and Yosef Intelligarden and like all of those people we've like been mentioning throughout this episode just like committed a like Ocean's 8 sort of heist at the ISU headquarters, and we just don't know about it because they're being wronged. And I don't know why.
Yeah, well, and there's like a certain, there's a certain type of old school judge who will just unabashedly like tell you, like, I will score you lower if you haven't had X amount of international experience. And like, that's what they use that for. But Karen's been to another Olympics. Like, I don't understand what she hasn't been to that would, you know?
Yeah. And also like that's, again, PCS is broken and people are proud to declare that they're using it in a broken way. Karen is beautiful.
Agreed. Kamila Valieva won. And she did some quads. It's so hard for me to like say anything about her. Is that awful? Like, it's not, I just don't know what's, she hasn't like cemented her spot in my head as like, this is her thing.
Can I?
Yet.
My God, I'm about to be so mean, and this poor child has done nothing to me, and she's very talented and technical and all of that. If you held up $300 to me right now in cold hard cash and you were like, name a Kamila Valieva program, just the music, just tell me a program and I'll give you $300, I could not do it.
The closest I could come would be the one where she's wearing blue tights and she pretends she's in a bubble, but I don't know what song that is.
Oh yeah, the blue I do enjoy colorful tights, and like I do like the thing that like a lot of the Russian camp and some other people have been doing, where they wear gloves that are like color. Like, I enjoy the fashion aspect of some of Russia's, like, very expensive, cool costumes. Not the costume changes, just, like, the production and construction of a lot of them. And I'm saying all of that to distract from the fact that I fully do not know. I know that I've seen her skate, and every time I'm like, yeah, this is fine. Oh, she's doing a bolero this year. She's been doing a bolero for like years, and I just see the thing is when your body of work is like a bolero and Exogenesis Symphony Part 3 and shit like that, I just, how am I supposed to remember that? Like, everyone has done that, and everyone in this fucking camp has done that. I feel like the cursed mirror equivalent of Benoit's black and white wheel of aesthetics is just Daniil with one of those old CD cases, and he just flips the CD case open and is like, I guess we're fucking doing Muse.
Like, I honestly, all of the Sambo music choices, I think down to a one pretty much, are so deliberately generic. Like, I assume it's deliberate. It's like they're terrified of picking a piece of music that would even come close to outshining the skater. So they just pick things that are like, they're nothing. They're like, it's like, did you ever watch Night Vale? Or I guess nobody did because it was a podcast. Did you listen to Night Vale?
I did very much listen to Welcome to Night Vale. It was the first podcast I ever listened to. And
I think it was my first podcast,
too. In a very long way, it is the reason we are here.
It is. And so I'm going to reference it now, and I'm going to say, you know, there was, I can't remember what they called him in the show, but there was like an arc where there was like a man who was like impossible to perceive and you couldn't remember his face. And like, you'd seen him, but then you couldn't remember what. It's like they pick the musical equivalent of that. So it's like elevator music of adult contemporary stuff that was then pastiched in an off-brand film score so no one would get sued.
Yes.
And then it's like the off-brand CD wedding music version of that. Like, it's like just been run through so many filters of blandness that it's like, there's nothing here.
There's something very scary about realizing that a part of that is to just truly make all of those extremely talented young athletes extremely replaceable. It's so rare for any of them to do something that's, like, notable music-wise that you couldn't possibly imagine any one of the other ones doing. That is just, like, you can keep cycling through those girls.
And even when they do something cool, it's like wicked outdated cool. Yeah. It's like when you're, like, high school drama teacher's like, we're finally doing a contemporary musical since you begged and begged and begged. We're doing Footloose, you know? it's just the point of reference is just so like,
oh my goodness. Yeah, that's very much it. The grim reality of Russian figure skating, and more specifically Sambo's 70 Russian figure skating, makes me sad.
Yeah. And speaking of makes me sad, we are seeing Daniil Corio not just on Camila but on Kostornaya, who is, on the one hand, you're so happy to see her be healthy and back. Yes. And skating beautifully. It's always a treat to watch her no matter what.
Correct.
It's horrible to, you know, the monkey's paw curled and we got her doing more Daniil bullshit.
I mean, I guess at least she at this point has come into her own so much that it's kind of unavoidable for her to be making an impression regardless of all the bullshit we just talked about. But still, like, I desperately wish she was doing not that.
Yeah, I don't have anything original to say about it. I just, like, dislike the man's aesthetic.
Same.
And body of work.
Wait, real quick, can we go back to men and to Daniil? You'll see where I'm going in a second. So something fucking iconic is happening in the men's field, which is Matteo Rizzo is being an excellent Italian man, and he has his outstanding Måneskin short program, which I feel partially responsible for because, like, a week after Eurovision, he was doing a Q&A and I was like, you have to be doing Zitia Buoni. And I was expecting him to do it as, like, an exhibition piece or something. And he responded and he was like, maybe. And now it's part of his short program. However, and that's where Daniil comes up. Can we talk about how fucking abysmal that music cut is?
Yeah. No, it's bad. It's just, that's the one where I was like, I will do it better for
you,
right?
Yeah, yeah,
it's bad from, like, a technical point of view. It's like they just didn't zoom in far enough and, like, drag the track over to make it flush with the other track. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, like, a hair too late. And it's like, I don't understand how they don't hear that. Or they think it's okay. Like, I just don't get it.
I have no idea, because it could pop off. Like, this program has potential to be fucking iconic on so many levels. And it does, like, his step sequence is insane. And it pops out very, very hard. But it's just like, ooh, just half a second too late. And that's weird.
I think it would be really hard as I think it would be hard to skate to that because, like, you probably have a sense of internal rhythm, and then you what you have to anticipate that all of a sudden there's just like a 5/4 measure that they just inserted for no reason by accident.
Yeah, God, I think like the music change happens while he's spinning, so I guess he's just like off somewhere doing his like thing while it's happening, but still.
The best I could assume like would be that maybe that spin just needed like a hair more time and they did that on purpose, but there's still better ways to do it.
Yeah, so. I don't know. I'm upset about it because it's on paper it's such a fucking good concept and then the execution is just like, oh, I wish this was a tiny bit better. Anyway, women.
Yeah. So the podium was all Russia, which is not new for this sport. I was okay with it. It wasn't, there were no Russians that I was like, no.
Yeah.
That sounded like weirdly xenophobic of me. Like, I don't dislike Russians. I just like, I love Russians so much. I just, sometimes when it's an all girls Russian podium, it means that there's people on there whose style I don't enjoy. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? Camila is a little bit of a cipher to me, but she does skate beautifully and she's got some grace and some poise that you like to see. And I like Lisa and I like Aliona. So,
yeah.
You know, sure.
Yeah, sure. That's all I have to say about it is like, sure. I'm starting to like mentally prepare myself for the sheer fact that we are going to have an all-Russian Olympic podium.
Sure, yeah.
And I'm just like, well, this is training me for that. I'm just kind of used to it at this point and it's not gonna mean anything to me when it happens, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not, with the Olympics, it's like, it's not about who wins.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it very much is.
Oh,
but
my
like...
God. I love that you're lecturing me on that. I am aware. Yeah, I'm so excited for the Olympics, but I'm also prepared to have like half an hour of just feeling fucking insane on the internet when it's done.
Yeah, and that's, for me, that's half of the joy. But the final woman that I want to talk about is Luna Hendricks, because she has been having such a fucking bomb season. Like talk about peaking at the right moment.
Correct. It's so exciting. I've stanned her for so long and I'm so excited to see her just like fucking thriving this season.
And it's so good to know that like she also recently switched coaches to be coached by her brother and to see her really shining. Like, it's just heartwarming to think like it must just be nice to work with your brother.
Yeah. I do not know if I could let my sister coach me, assuming that she could coach and I was a competitive fiercer.
Do you want to, we could actually use this to sort of transition into Plushie Corner.
Yes. Oh my God. Plushie Corner is back. Sort of.
Sort of. I'm kind of stretching the definition of plushie corner because we still don't have the like,
item corner. Corner of things.
Item corner. I've heard people call the things you throw out onto the ice tossies, and I really hate that because it reminds me of throwing up.
Tossies?
I think it's a thing in like adult skater culture.
What? I've
heard people who do adult skating competitions call them tossies.
I have just found out that I'm quitting skating. I cannot be an adult figure skater if that's a thing we do.
It reminds me of like calling someone a tosser or like tossing your cookies.
Tossies?
Which I've done enough of this month. McBrazino was the only thing that got me out of that hole.
Wait, I will say the only good thing about tossies in adult figure skating culture is that sometimes with the plushies, I've been told they will throw like airplane sized bottles of liquor on the ice, which I would appreciate.
Yeah, and it makes sense that it would then need a name that wasn't, like, just one thing. Because it's so much more than just teddy bears. It's booze.
Boozies.
Yeah, I don't know. I just...
So anyway, Plushie Corner.
I don't like that. But
Stuff Corner.
Plushie Corner. Luna Hendricks has... I was thinking of you, Netta, because she has what I am pretty sure was a Marie the Aristocrat tissue case.
Yeah, she does, and it's so fucking cute. I love Marie, unsurprisingly.
It sounded like I was trying to make like a Party City Halloween costume, like off brand, like
this like, aristocrat
luxurious
cat.
Feline.
Fancy
well,
feline.
Wealthy kitten with bow.
No.
She was making it like dance and wave and blow kisses. I was like, yes, thank you. You know what the people want.
I just feel very justified because anytime I'm handed anything that's remotely, anything that looks like it could have a life, I will be animating this thing. Like if you give me a plushie or something, I will be puppeteering this thing. And it feels validating to see that represented on the international figure skating stage.
Yeah, I want to see a figure skating drama movie where like there's a really dramatic scene and like somebody like can't, like a skater in the Kiss and Cry, like can't express their emotions. And so they're doing it through like puppeteering of a teddy bear or something.
That is actually so fucking funny. Like fully miming your entire emotional situation with like a teddy bear. And by the end of it, it's like fully like one of
one of its arms is torn out. It's like a whole thing.
Yeah, like what if there, or like what if there was somebody who could only like bring themselves to speak about their skate with their coach afterwards, like by talking through a bear.
It's like they're like holding it up in front of their face, like puppeteering your emotions.
Sports psychology is a mystery to me, so that could be what it is. I don't know. The other important plushie moment that I wanted to highlight was that I believe Alyona Kostornaya got a new unicorn.
Really?
Yeah, it's not the one she used to have, I don't think. And I was wondering if she lost it in the custody battle. And then I was like, Plushenko, Plushenko. There's a joke there that I don't know. Something happened there where I was like, I'll finish this joke tomorrow. And then I didn't. But I was like, it's kind of a unicorn pig hybrid.
Good for it.
Good. I like that. It's interesting. Swiftly moving on, you want to move on to social media corner?
Yes. Oh my God, I cannot believe we're back to like, things are happening in a structured way.
Segments, baby. The only thing I put in there was that Caitlin Weaver is just a boss.
Yes. I think that's all we need.
Well, so specifically, she presented at the ISU Good Governance Working Group with Kira Corpy. Apparently, things that they got approved were official pronouns in the ISU bios and EDI professional joining the working group, which you simply love to see because the more diverse you can get the ISU committee and board and like just whatever like bureaucracy to be, the more likely it is that one day we are maybe one step closer to having somebody in some position of authority to be like, maybe don't skate in blackface.
Maybe someone far in the future could be like, hey, this may or may not be a bad idea.
Yeah, just, you know, it's like step one of a bajillion. But yeah, Caitlin gets it. And I'm so happy that she's using her status as a role model to continue to do good things.
Yeah, I really hope that this is like the first of many steps towards making all of this, like everything in our sport that we talk about, just better and more inclusive and safer for everyone.
Yeah. So on that note.
On this grim fucking note.
It's not a grim note. It's a hopeful note.
Has this been an episode?
Oh, I believe it has.
Well, congratulations on this being an episode. Before we move on to like wrapping things up, I do want to tell you, Megan, and also whoever might be listening, next time you hear us, it will be the Grand Prix season. We are once again back where we started. We will be doing Grand Prix Madness. And I'm ready.
I'm very ready. And I hope that you guys all are too. I want to thank our amazing patrons, Mary, Jana, not one but two amazing Barbaras, Sunny, Erin, Joe. In spirit, I am always throwing plushies at Evgenia Medvedeva. Jennifer, Heath, Jules, Danny, and Jordan, you guys are the absolute best. You keep the lights on and the sound a-flowing.
Thank you guys so much. I wonder if In Spirit I'm Always Throwing Plushies at Evgenia Medvedeva has considered changing their Patreon name to In Spirit I'm Always Throwing Throwies at Evgenia Medvedeva, because apparently that's...
You mean Tossies?
Tossies? I hate it. I hate it all. Please don't do that.
Throwies is worse. Don't. We love you the way you are.
Yeah, never change. Also, if you want to hear us, or rather see us live in person on Twitter, you can do that. Megan, where are you on the internet for your immediate reactions to the madness that's about to go down at the Grand Prix season?
You can find those at Megan Kelleher 3 on Twitter. You can also check out at Eclipse Pod on Twitter. It's a D&D podcast that I play on as well. And Netta, where can they find you on Twitter?
Oh, you can find me at Netta Marie. That's N-E-D-A. And then Marie, like the Marie Aristocat fancy feline tissue box that Luna Hendrix has, on Twitter and also Instagram. You can also find me at @N_ice_skating if you want to see me skate. And you can find both of us at IcedPod on Twitter and Instagram. That is where you go for live tweeting of events and every joke that stays on the cutting room floor of this audio experience.
Yeah, thank you so much for listening. We're so, so, so excited to get into another Grand Prix season with everybody, and we hope you stick around for that. We'll see you then.
Stay safe. See you at the Grand Prix. Bye.